Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Of course, that was Jethro Tull, Teacher. God, that takes way back. 1970, I think that was song came out. Anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. Of course, this is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly. And welcome to all my listeners and all your future listeners and past, future, present. It's a glorious March 1st. And I'm no... You've been bombarded. Fear. you're always being dieted and addictive and thrown around you and purged upon. Fear. Scared of this, scared of that. What's going to happen? I mean, ever since you were a little kid, right? Don't do this. Don't do that. What'll happen? The boogeyman, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's always nonstop. You're always being lambasted with fear. I mean, think about it. I think that you can go through every aspect from, certainly from religion, which I'll get into. Certainly from politics, which I'll certainly get into. Certainly from economics, and of course, I will certainly get into. And of course, health. Well, yeah, I'll talk about that too. Food, yes, indeed. And crime. I mean, every aspect. Fear this, you gotta fear that. Fear them, they're gonna get you. If you don't do this, that's gonna happen. I mean, watch the news. Take a moment every time and turn on, for about an hour, of CNN, Fox, whether BS, MSNBC, BBC, Al Jazeera, I don't care, whatever. And you listen to the news. Even go to the blogs. Go from the one that's more left-wing, let's say Huffington Post, to something more right-wing. I think that's Daily Beast, but I'm not sure. They started to look all the same to me. But you'll notice, they always project all kinds of fear. The other guy, what he's going to do. If they don't do, it's because of them. And blame them. And if that doesn't happen, what's going to happen? It's perpetual. It never stops. And of course, both governments and people who are empowered in government, let me put it that way, and of course religion, organized religions, love fear. I mean, think about what fear does. You react to it. Ooh, then we, just by me, it's like bring you to the animal level. And what is that reaction? Fear reaction. Fear reaction. You get anxiety. It's a way to manipulate you. It's a way to control you. Of course, why not? I mean, that's what it is. Fear is utilized to manipulate. It really is. And if you don't become individualistic enough to gain your own self-worth and stand back, recognize where it's the source is and why it's being used, it is really a magic trick. Fear is an illusion. It's not real. It's only real to this perspective. But look at fear. I mean, everything's fear. Look at recently, those who live in the United States. I mean, look at sequester. And sequester, of course, we're talking about the end of our the timetable they put in focus, where if the government doesn't come in hand and come to an agreed vote on our budget, then automatically, which has been put in effect on a compromise way back when, that if an agreed budget isn't agreed upon, then institutionalized automatic across the board cuts will be made evenly across all budget areas in the federal budget. And this initiates today, and of course, by I think it's the March 27th, the real effect comes into being. So, I mean, it's really our form for out there in Europe is our form of austerity that could go into effect, or is it actually in effect? Congress needs to go into agreed budget on there, and that's basically the idea. But here's an idea, not to go off tangent. This is what I think. Think about it. What if that's the green, what's supposed to happen if they're cut cross-board budgets? And they haven't come to terms with, meaning the senators and congresspersons have not come to a development of a budget, right? Then it should be withholding that every congressperson and senator cease to receive any salary. Their health care should immediately cease. And all their personal expenses that are utilized, paid for by us, cease. Meaning like transportation, even pencils and paper. They can go buy it on their own. I mean, they're all millionaires. I'm sure they can afford here and there. And it would be, that's basically what they should go in effect. No health care. If you get hurt or injured, it's tough. This might put a little bit of pressure on them. It's, why do we, would we have to be subjugated to their issues? But now I'm getting off tangent. Because the point is about fear. Now you think about why this is also institution scare happening, blah, blah, blah. Because if it, as it goes in effect, what happens to the budget? What happens to social services? I mean, across the board, people get nervous. Social things that you assume. They even make threats on your Social Security and your Medicare and those of Medicaid and social programs and schools and student loans, and that can go on and on. And there's the Pentagon. And then there's what happens if these cuts go into effect, what happened to jobs, and they're going to, people lose jobs, they're going to lose jobs. What is going to happen to our economy? See, they're always constantly putting some kind of fear in one form or another on a spin through a cycle. I mean, think about it. Listen to it. And this is not just the U.S. This is throughout the world. In Europe, every country does this. I mean, I remember I was in the U.K., and I'm constantly, you can see the bombardment of fear. That's why when I was there, I was like, wow, people walk around like full of anxiety in the U.K. But that's basically what it is. I mean, think about it. What's happening to our economy? Fear. Your job. Or perhaps you lost your job. The process of getting one. The cost of what's going to go up. Gasoline, food, energy crisis, this, that. There's always something to create fear. I mean, what does our society do regarding this? They even go to the extent of fear of existence, climate change, the end of the world, 2012, supposedly the end of the world, right? I mean, they go through dogmas of religions and they do that. The end of the world as we know it, like the song. But is it? It's all perpetuating fear. Fear-based, fear of things. I mean, everything and every time we listen to something new, it's what it's supposed to do. Scare the living daylights out of you, right? I mean, fear creates what? It creates anxiety. And what does anxiety do to your health? Anxiety will literally make you go on the defensive. Instead of growing as a human being, you go to a physical. This is why they create fear. It's to create itself from a dark side. If you go on opposite, because fear is an illusion, and it's a dark element, so it's restricting you. It's making you, forcing you to not embracing your self-worth and growing as a human being. You go back to your survival thing, so you retreat. You become defensive. So your cells, your body does not go on to growth, and a healing factor goes on the defenses, as if you have a disease and you don't. So it assumes it has something, so it goes on a retreat. So it uses more energy and becomes more negative, and you become more down, you become less energy, you become more depressed. That's what fear does. Of course, I just mentioned health, right? Think about all the times, it's so ironic, I can almost predict better than the stock market on health. watch out for the flu epidemic, or this disease, or that disease. Right? Take your flu shot, or you're going to get this. And of course, I'm going to have flu shots do for you. There's always some disease. There's a cancer. Oh my God, there was AIDS. There's this. There's that. There's always a scare element. Something to fear, make you fearful. I mean, look how bad our food is. This is bad. That is bad. I mean, there's always something about our health. Ironically, to make you more unhealthy. By the way, you ever notice on these new shows, 90%, I think it's ironic, they show a lot of news and the next thing that they have medicines from pharmaceutical companies, ironically, sponsoring the news channels and talking about antidepressants and anti-anxiety pills and things like that after you're watching it, while you're watching the news. Isn't that sort of subliminal? Think about it. It's not because they're trying to get you to sell drugs. They're already trying to make you depressed and then later on maybe buy more drugs. As if that pill will fix it. And then you're hooked on it. And then, of course, and I talked about this in the past, you know, we had just recently in the Sandy Hook situation or massacre, unfortunately, you know, a lot of kids and people up and were slaughtered by a crazy nut who happened to get a gun from his mom, who legally had guns, had them registered, everything hunky-dory, right? But you had been to the disturbed kid with some serious issues on a shooting spree. So instead of dealing with the core issue of why this caused, it wasn't the guns that went on the slaughter. It was this crazy lunatic kid who lost it, this mental condition. Instead of getting to the source of it, which is our mental society, fixing our mental. I mean, a lot of people need to be institutionalized or taken care of in their mental scale. We don't have the medical facilities for mental conditions like we did have. Those, of course, were in the United States, were curtailed since Reagan. The reason why we have so much homeless is not because, not just economically, but literally Reagan shut down through his cuts social services. Cut down drastically all Medicare for social services for the mental. And so that limited. So a lot of these people end up being on the streets. And so it kept in the same cycle. So these people never have a place to turn. Look at the situations, even these kids who've consistently had medical conditions and it caused these travesties, one after another. I mean, in the one in Colorado, another loony had some serious mental. These are all mental conditions. They're not the guns. But what do? They scare you over the guns. They're not dealing with a source. They're just guns, guns, guns. And even by their own admission, the governments, especially the Democrats, including Dianne Feinstein, who admitted that her goal was eventually removing the guns, using this as a sway to sway the public. Even Obama jumped on the bandwagon. First, they used like sympathy and things. So look how the bombardment of fear is utilized. We must do something. Assault weapons, assault guns, gun control, scare, scare, scare. Throw a little sympathy upon the kids, their parents. This may happen to you. We must take those guns out. A constant scare tactics. And when, if anybody defends themselves of the real reasoning behind why we're allowed to, our right to bear arms in the United States is not about going out hunting, or protecting ourselves in our own personal security, even though that was well established, shown that that was really necessary when the riots do happen, that, like in 1993 in LA. If you were here, you would definitely want an assault rifle and a gun. Police weren't there. Even the National Guard couldn't control it. The right to bear arms is to protect us against the government. Of course, when anybody or a tyrannical government, it's to keep a balance between protecting the people against the government. But people, when say this, they get, oh, that sounds loony, that's crazy, that's old. Or they go back, oh, that was when there was a musket. What are you going to do with a, you know, a drone flies by or this or that? And I said, come on, you know what? If you look at that, 300 million people live here. If all the Americans had guns, I don't think the military is going to rise up. There would be a police state enforced, a military action, Nazi-like regime, an Iranian-like regime to be in place. Or like we see what happens like in Egypt and other countries. That keeps us in balance. That's why, like you've seen in Europe, even I saw in the UK, they're basically people there are, unfortunately, you will have submitted to the government at their will and mercy. They will come down on you like a brick. And not talking, I'm getting off tangent about gun control, but here's a fact for those who think that gun control, limiting guns limits violent crime, opposite. The UK, for example, which I've mentioned in the past show, has per capita more violent crime in the entire, is the leading crime per capita in the EU. It has actually more crime. It's one of the top 10% or top 10, I think it's the top 5, if I believe right. And then US doesn't even fall 20 at 23rd or 24th, something like that. Mexico, and that's, by the way, they have gun bans. And then in Mexico, of course, has total gun ban. And go, have you been to Juarez lately? Not exactly safe. The only ones that guns do control does is to prevent, controls guns in the hands of citizens who are lawfully biting or not in criminal element. The criminal element is always going to have guns. That's sort of a fact. You're not allowed to buy an automatic weapon, so how the hell a criminal would get an automatic weapon, right? But that diverts from the case, again, of the scare tactics. They let you look at the image of the gun. They don't want you to show the crazy guy who was a source, and maybe that's the problem. They may throw that out there here and there. But all this stuff is about fear. I mean, it goes on and on. It's fear tactics. And think about that. And that was just another element. As in politics and our religion and what happens, it's consistently being used. It's a way to move you, control you, manipulate you. Yet it's an illusion. It's not real. It's not tangible. And I'll explain later at the bottom of the show. If you go into religions and organized religions, and whether it's Christian or Muslims, Buddhists, even Judaism, I mean, they all have their elements of all fear. I mean, if you don't believe in God this way, this is going to happen to you. If you're a non-believer, this is going to happen to you. If you don't believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will go to hell. Satan will get you. Lucifer is at you. The demons, the evil, beware, the Antichrist, fear. And if you don't believe in Allah, you will be punished. If you don't follow a true prophet and believe in the prophet, Muhammad, as being the true and last prophet, you're not following the Quran, you will suffer. You indeed got to believe or you will suffer. If you don't listen, you must behave. If you don't listen and behave as what we deem moral, you will suffer. If you don't eat the way we say you must eat, you will suffer. In all religions, the cleric utilizes a means of suffering, of fear tactics. That's why it's used. Even in Buddhism, you suffer from karma, you suffer creating a fear element. But suffering is actually based upon what? A perspective of the person experiencing it. It's a reaction, which I'm going to get into. If you don't listen and behave as what, like I said, the moral, then you're going to suffer, you're going to eat it. They're always expanding upon you their belief system. And how do they get you to believe like them? They will try to make utilize a fear tactic. Of course, they also use guilt, but we're talking about fear here. And of course, fear is so culturally brought in, almost accepted. It's like a natural in a lot of cultures. I'll give you an example. In the Middle East, for example, the Middle East, and this is what a lot of people don't get, especially in the West, it is a fear-based culture. Fear is consistently and has been consistently used to control its populace. That's why you have such an autocratic, non-democratic, non-tolerant societies. Besides leaving on a segregation, separatist, cult-like envelopment. In Iran, for example, what does it use? It uses fear, imprisonment, beatings, and torture to keep its populace in check. It's subservient. I mean, they have one guy who decided to be a Christian, and what they do, he's now being tried and put to death. And they have these little guys drive around, they'll beat the hell out of you, Bashar, I think I forgot how to pronounce them, apologize. So they're secret police, they drive in plain clothes, they're like the moral police. If a guy isn't covered up enough on his shoulders, he can be apprehended. And they have a fear-based system. Go look at Iran about free speech. Look how many journalists are thrown in jail. They have actually one of the largest jails of journalists. Imagine that. That tells you something about Iran. The fear of people speaking the truth, speaking their own minds. They're constantly using terror and threat and violence. Fear. Now, is Egypt any better? No. Even after the Arab Spring, blah, 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 you have the Muslim Brotherhood went in. They're no different, by the way, than the Nazi Party. In fact, that's how the Nazis, of course, came into power, through a democratic vote. You know what Ben Franklin said about democracy? It's like two wolves and a lamb deciding on what's for lunch or dinner. Or supper, I forget how it goes. Which is why democracy actually sucks. You should have a republic, which is based upon having tolerance, where there are rights that protect the individual. So you'll age up, in effect. Look what it's doing now. It's by one small little point, it's maintained a mandate. The Muslim Brotherhood is acting as if it has a mandate, but it has 0.1% vote and a parliamentary system that's not even a real system. Who knows, really? And it's falling apart. It's trying to, instead of feeding its people and taking care of its economical needs, it's trying to be the moral objector here. It's trying to push its agenda of what it believes are Islamic beliefs down their throats. And all others who are not Islamic, subservient. It's using torture and beatings as well. The threat of. Look in Saudi Arabia, the same thing. Turkey. Oh my God! Today I was listening to Aragon. He puts out a speech, something talking about Zionism and attacking that. When, you know, people who want their national place, you know, the Jews living in Israel, and saying stupid ass remarks. Of all things, a country that killed over 1 million Armenians and are still in denial of it, that occupy Cyprus, that kill Kurds and occupy parts of Kurdistan, who torture their own people as well, who have become themselves now an Islamic fascist state. Let alone other Muslim countries. Not even talking about Syria, Jordan, Lebanon. Violence, fear. How does the Hezbollah stay in power? It threatens. What did it do when they were trying to get them out? They had violent reactions. They have their own militia, and they threaten their own country with a civil war. So people are afraid of another violent act. So what happens? This is how it persists. Almost every Muslim country, you have from Sudan, you're in Libya, Tunisia, the Emirates. I mean, every single country. You can go even further to Indonesia. In those countries, they use fear. India, Pakistan. Look at Pakistan. They did to that girl. Afghanistan. It's constantly used violence to project fear, to control its population. I mean, this is what I meant by the Middle East lives to control its population. If an Arab speaks, what happens? When a Palestinian speaks against the Palestinian Authority or Hamas, what happens? What happens when they speak of peace or want peace, what happens? Yeah, they're beaten up. That's what happens. Or even maybe killed. That's what happens. I mean, in the public Palestinian Authority, it's death to sell land to a Jew. Death to sell land to a Jew. Yet they call Israel being racist. Israel being apartheid. There's no law that says in Israel it's death to sell land to an Arab. See what I mean? The PA, they ridicule or right now with their own corruption, they receive more money per capita in any peoples around the world in donation, yet they're bankrupt. Yet Abbas and all of them are very wealthy. Living like kings, they basically scandal the money. Arafat died one of the top richest people in the world. Hamas, what do? They live by threat, killing, torture. It's death or torture by the PA if you are against their agenda. If you become a Sadat, and if you want peace, what will happen to you? This isn't just in Israel amongst the Palestinians. It's everywhere in the Middle East, like I said. Look at Iraq. Look at Pakistan. I remember there was a girl who spoke out in Pakistan, a teenager, when she was attacked. This isn't all around the world. In Russia, a group called the Pussy Riot speaks up, demonstrates in a church against Putin's Russian tyrannical government and what is implemented. They're in prison. They put fear. They even attacked in prison. This is nothing new. This is what is used. It's consistently being used. And of course, religion has been using this fear since the birth of organized religions. And they know it. And I have a thing I want you to listen to. This is by a priest. And he talks about, or minister, he talks about how religions use fear to control people. Please listen, because he's telling you the truth. And if you follow, go to church, or you go to a mosque, or you go to a synagogue, or you go to a Buddhist temple, or whatever, I want you to listen to this. think for yourself for once and realize those clerics, those monks, those mullahs, those imams, those ministers, priests, cardinals, or whatever, or even the new pope or old pope, are all full of shit, and they're all utilizing fear to control you. This is not fear, by the way, is not enlightened. It's not of God. God is not of fear. That's manufactured bullshit. And I'll explain later. So listen, please listen, bear with me. Here it is.
I don't think hell exists. I happen to believe in life after death, but I don't think it's got a thing to do with reward and punishment. Religion is always in the control business. And that's something people don't really understand. It's in the guilt-producing control business. And if you have heaven as a place where you're rewarded for your goodness and hell as a place where you're punished for your evil, then you sort of have control of the population. And so they create this fiery place, which has quite literally scared the hell out of a lot of people throughout Christian history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of a control tactic.
But wait a minute, you're saying that hell, the idea of a place under the earth or somewhere where you're tormented for an eternity, is actually an invention of the church.
I think the church fired its furnaces hotter than anybody else. But I think there's a sense in most religious life of reward and punishment in some form. The church doesn't like for people to grow up, because you can't control growing up. That's why we talk about being born again. When you're born again, you're still a child. The people don't need to be born again. They need to grow up. They need to accept their responsibility for themselves and the world.
What do you make of the theology, which is quite prominent these days in America, which is that there is one guaranteed way not to go to hell, and that is to accept Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yeah, I grew up in that tradition. Every church I know claims that we are the true church, and they have some ultimate authority. We have the infallible Pope. We have the inerrant Bible. The idea that the truth of God can be bound in any human system, by any human creed, by any human book, is almost beyond imagination for me. I mean, God is not a Christian. God is not a Jew or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist. All of those are human systems which human beings have created to try to help us walk into the mystery of God. I honor my tradition. I walk through my tradition. But I don't believe my tradition defines God. I think it only points me to God.
You and I are emerging people, not fallen people. Our problem is not that we are born in sin. Our problem is we do not yet know how to achieve being fully human. The function of the Christ is not to rescue the sinners, but to empower you and to call you to be more deeply and fully human than you've ever realized there was the potential within you to be. Maybe salvation needs to be conveyed in terms of enhancing your humanity rather than rescuing you from it.
Life is a startling and wondrous experience, and eventually I think we're going to discover that God is unfolding through the life of our consciousness and our self-consciousness, and is not a parent figure up in the sky. But I believe because I'm related to something that is not bound by time and space, that I will share in whatever God's eternity is.
So, exactly what I was talking about. He actually says some pretty interesting comments. But we're not... He said how organized religions utilize... turn us to be like kids. Which is funny because you're the flock. You're the flock. You're the sheep. You're the kids to follow. You know... Even the term he said, born again, was just sort of funny. They actually morph things and its understandings. And it's funny how he also said something, which I'm going to get to. Well, let me first state. The idea and the understanding of the child thing has nothing to do about being a follower or something, any of that. It's to learn to be at play. It's not to have fear, because if you look at kids normally, when they're playing, they're not in fear. It's usually parents implement fear upon kids. If you see a children, a little baby, he doesn't know that fire burns. He doesn't know thing. There's no fear to him. So that's what that is. When you get out of that fear element, you're back to being a child. There's a thing, they say the being in the realms of the heavens through the cherubim, as it says in Kabbalism. And that really essence is being a child. It's being without fear, without guilt. It's being in the moment. And they morphed it into, and they changed it, in or clerics, instead of taking that into the other aspect. The other thing he said that was really, really, absolutely true. There's no such thing as a Christian. A God, their God isn't a Christian or Jew or Muslim or any of those theologies at all. It's not Tao. It's not Buddhist. It's not Hindu. Those are all sort of contrived systems which we utilize to make sense of our universe. You know, when you look at the dynamics of our universe, for the reality of it is that it is what it is, which I'm going to get into more of it. And you'll see, like, why fear is really just an element if you stand back out of the fishbowl, because I'm constantly taking, trying to pull people out from the fishbowl and look at humanity at large and micro to see what really things are. And this is why I'm bringing up fear. And why I show how the government and the media utilize it. And even I'll show you how other people utilize it in their own dynamics. I mean, look at the governments. I already forementioned the media, how they curtailed and utilized it purposely to manipulate, to get you fear, to make you jump through hoops. They make you feel like you're sheeple. Sheep, right? Jumping through loops. But then you also have other people who will... I mean, there's a difference in giving information, which I'm going to explain, but there's also people who are like the David Icke's, the Rences, and to some degree, I would possibly say even, you know, others like, I'm trying to think, like does info.com kind of stuff. Kind of just my mind went blank on his name. Like Alex Jones, I apologize. But David Icke, definitely, if you listen to what he says all the time, you know, he really projects out fear. He's a fear-based. He's a fearmonger. He'll call other people fearmonger, but he's not really doing information. He's doing seminars, make money. And then he'll morph into this scenario, back into the oneness kind of thing. Love thing. I'm really coming from a place of love. I'm really placing them on oneness, but then it'll go out and attack. Well, if we're all oneness, why are you attacking other people? If we're all humanity, they're a part of us. Now, yeah, there are people who are in our society that have created a separatist mentality, which I said to you in the past shows, and often will reinstate that people look as we look. In our society, illogically, that we're all separate, but in reality, we're all connected. We're all really in reality one consciousness. This is like a fact. This is where it is. This is not my mechanics or anything. We're all one connection, even by physics, even by science. We're all deeply connected. We're in a symbiotic relationship, both within ourselves and within Earth and all our universe. I mean, think of it physiologically. We're all space. Our cells are we're nothing but energy. We create this illusion in our mind by differentiating what we perceive as the reality, but that's already very limited realities. I mean, somebody can take a gun and blow you apart, right? There's a reality, right? Someone would say to me, but the reality is you blew that person apart, but what happens to the soul? Do you know if the soul's there or not? No, you don't. But yeah, we know the soul is out there, but maybe not part of the physical body, but we know it's there, which has been shown even physics as being the observer behind the mind. So, lo and behold, we have profiteers like David Icke who utilize fear to get you to buy more books and pen more seminars, and he's a really good orator and good talker and get you all riled up. You'll have Alex Jones to some degree, which I actually tend to like more on what he says, because at least he just gives straight up answers, and lately he's been trying to pull back from trying to be that. He does try to push buttons to get upset or stuff, but that's mainly to get you enthralled. I think more to investigate, learn on your own, figure it out on yourself, and then come to your truth or your own thinking, think for yourself. That's where I really get off of Alex Jones. That's why I think I respect him a lot more. He's even cascaded David Icke because his theories of ideas of, lizard people and all this stuff and reptilians out to get you, you know, it's overkill. The Craig Fear, even the Illuminati and all that, there are people in society and you have to do an investigation if they're real or not. In my research, I've seen that there is an element of truth to it, but element has been not truth. Freemasons, not all thumbs are alike. I saw in, for example, the UK, there's definitely that Illuminati presence amongst Freemasons in the UK. I did not see that as much as in the Freemasons within the United States. There's a big, I believe, person, this is just my view, there's actually division. Like in all things, there's good and bad, good and evil. So, and I think a lot of things have been thrown out in names using, like, I mean, I heard people call utilize in a bad way of Zionists when they have nothing to Zionists. Oh, you're a Zionist. You know what I mean? Using that word like New World Order to create hate and division and fear. And they're usually going back to Prodigals of Zion, which is an anti-Semitic, Jew-hating thing, which is really what that's based is to make create fear so you hate this other person and you have no fucking clue what you're talking about. You're jumping to conclusions. Just using fear to get you to get riled up, making you feel separate. That's like David Icke. He makes you get riled up to look at those people being separate of you, those against them, against them. They're no different than the right wing versus the left wing, us against them. You know, you look out in the Middle East. I mean, the situation with Israel and even the Palestinians and Arabs and all that stuff, a lot of that is from outside. Oil thrown in the fire. I'm just telling you how I'm living there, even during the 80s, even amongst Palestinian Arabs in the West Bank and Jews and Arabs and Israeli Arabs or Israeli Palestinians, whatever you want to call them. They live pretty much harmony when I was in there for 6 years. I mean, in fact, the average Palestinian lived better than even the average American. And what happened in the late 80s is outside forces, the Bushes, the Europeans, pushed their own agenda into the system. And then instead of doing something practical, I mean, the practical would have been making some sort of co-control between Jordan and Israel. And since then, the Arabs living there had their own, Jordan is basically Palestine anyway, but they should have made it just with the Hashemite king, which now a lot of prominent Palestinians acknowledge, but they should have just did some sort of merger, sort of joint control thing. And it's always the people. The people really in closed doors are just want to get along. And I'm just telling you, I know that from within their door, they'd say one thing and then open outside the door, then the fear culture gets in. That's why I'm telling you, not why I know about the culture in the Middle East. Even amongst their neighbors, they may say something for their neighbors, but in their hearts, it's something different. I'm just telling you. So yeah, this is what I'm seeing was proposed throughout. And then you'll see a big difference. You know, these orators and people making, you know, there's a difference of talking about stuff and explaining things, but not making you aware of a situation and aware of a problem in our society, a reflection of how and exposing certain things of an agenda, like, for example, the agenda of New World Order, or what the Federal Reserve really is and its folks, or popular influence on our health, food, freedoms, and human beings, and our rights to think, and our right to free think, and our right to question those who are in govern us, and the right to question those who sit in mosques, churches, synagogues, and temples, and mosques, and question the teacher, question the professor, question the authority, question everybody, even question the judge himself. This is what is needed. It's to open you up to think for yourself. It's taking responsibility, not being a little kid, as and the kid I meant by not being allowing them to dictate to you, but you learn to dictate for yourself and realize and take responsibility for your own actions. Within wisdom and understanding, there's absolutely no fear. There is none. It just is. So yes, I question these. I question these all the time. I will ask you to even question all things. I want you to question even me. I want you to always question everything. Question. Think for yourself. When you question things, you get to the source of things, and then you look at it, and then you reflect it. And then that's still your own perspective, and that's all fine and dandy. But it's still limited perspective, but it's fine. But don't go on a fear base, because that's just reaction base. Don't go because, oops, I might get hurt. Oops, so this might cause that. Look at the source of the fear, and then you'll know why that is. Dao Te Tung says, there's a famous thing. It says, hope is as hollow as fear. Well, we know hope is all pure bullshit. That's why it's hollow. But why does it say hope is as hollow as fear? What does it mean that hope is as hollow as fear? Hope and fear are both phantoms. They're not real. They don't exist. It's bullshit. It's an illusion. And they arise of thinking of self out of ego. That's what that means. It means when you're working off ego-based, and you're all ego-based, meaning your survival existence, that's where these phantoms occur. Oh, I need to save myself. Who's going to help me? I need some hope. I need a Messiah. I need a Christ. I need somebody to lead me out. I need an Obama. I need somebody to help save us. I need some hope to help us. Who's going to have the government? This, that. Hope. Hollow. That's actually a carrot. Fear. Bang. Another phantom. Oh, if you don't do this, you go to hell. If you do this, like just that minister had said, you know, just like in all things, religion or governments, punishment versus reward. If you're good, you're going to be successful in life. If not, you're going to go to hell. You're going to jail. You're going to go this. You're going to that. This is based upon what? Animal fear instinct. What is fear? Fear is based upon animal instinct. That's how it utilizes. It's the unknown, the darkness, being attacked, existence. It's like whether you have food or shelter. That is the thing. Think about unknown, darkness, being attacked, existence, fear. And what is fear really in its reality? I mean, when it's said, like I said, I'll reinstate that, what does it mean that hope is as hollow as fear? Hope and fear are really, in reality, phantoms, like I said. They arise out of thinking of self. So they're talking about something. Thinking is a perspective. It's assumption. It's assuming of the self. Assumption of self is a perspective. So fear is based on an assumption and assumed perception. So when you fear something, you're perceiving of something. So you perceive, you assume it. Now, if I put you in lock, put a thing where you couldn't see, you couldn't feel, you couldn't even hear anything, would you be in fear? Would you fear that there's something? If you couldn't see that the something that you assumed that was going to be fearful coming to you, if somebody is running at you and you were blind and they're about to throw a spear right through your heart, and you didn't see it or hear it or even feel it, would there be fear? No, you just sit there. Get it? It's all perception. You perceive it. It's an illusion. Now, it's a existential element of fear, the animalistic kind of thing, because it's based upon, it's like for your protection sort of existence. So you have the element of for physical protection. So where's your physical protection when you do already have food, shelter, and clothing? You know, maybe our society creates that phenomenon consistently. We do have the ability to feed all humanity and take care of ourselves and blah, blah, blah. Not to sit on our asses, but we could functionally work and develop our self-worth and we're in a society. If we're evolved enough, which we are, we do have enough elements in the world, both free energy, we have that ability. We do have all the abilities to functionally satisfy the physical needs of every single human on this planet, without affecting their planet, by the way, negatively. That's actually a fact. but it's limited to create an element of fear. If you take away from some people, you can control them. If you control the energy and take away, by the way, you're not, gas is going up, you control them, you create fear. You say, oops, here's some food, but we're taking a little food away. You create fear. Oh, here's some money, but now we're taking a fear. You create, see, you create the existence factor. Yet in reality, it's a fear, is the fun, it's a phantom. And it's utilized out of your own assumed perception. It is an illusion. It isn't real. The only thing real to you is that you're the one assuming it. In reality, and as I often say to people, and they get really weirded out when I tell them that, in reality, even suffering is an illusion. It's an illusionary perception. It's perceived. So when you say, oh, we have to worry about the suffering, you're just... it's just a mechanical way of having compassion. Compassion is a process. See, people get lost with the idea of compassion. And this is why I have articulated with a lot of Taoists and Buddhists, and they don't get it sometimes. It's sort of frustrating sometimes. But it is. Compassion is a mechanical way for you to recognize that we are all connected. Love the other person and things is a mechanical way, and so you'll experience the reality that we are all connected. Compassion is the mechanical way, so you will experience the reality that we are all connected. When you get that reality, you gain that understanding of that, therefore you're raising your consciousness and moving yourself up, you're healed. You realize, hey, I can't hurt them because that's like hurting myself. I often say to people of ordinary religion, for example, Muslims, I said to Muslim, this is a while back, and I use this, is how can, if you are a true believer of Allah, and Allah is everything, how can you hate a Jew or a Christian, since they're part of Allah, right? If you hate part of Allah, that part of Allah, then you hate Allah. So you're not a real Muslim. Guy started scratching his head. Uh-oh. See, if God is a loving God, why would God give you if a God is unconditionally loving you, why would he put conditions for you to love, for God to love you? It doesn't make any sense. God's going to be mad at you. It makes it like a person. See, that's the problem. If taking God made it like a person with personality. But in reality, God is not a person. God is all of us, right? God is existence. If you believe in any absolute looking at connections beyond our mechanical way of looking, even let's say you take the word G-O-D out of the system, the universe. The universe is nothing but things that move around with energy going back and forth. And there's spiritual and spiritual connections, and these are all expanded in multiple dimensions and never ending. The truth is, everything's infinite. Everything's beyond infinite, and yet we're all connected. That's the reality. We're all connected, and everything's infinite. If you just look at it that way, you've already moved that far further up. Even the kumbaya, I love you. Because if you see how we're all connected, and you recognize that, and you embrace that understanding, you see it, therefore you perceive the truth of the reality of things, then you go, oh, you're already beyond the compassion part. You're already beyond that, the suffering issue. You're beyond the source of the fear thing. And that's what I'm trying to get to. See, the source of fear is there in our own phantoms. In reality, fear is there for our assumed perception. Like I said, it is an illusion. It isn't real. It's only real to the one assuming it. When a cleric or governmental official uses fear, he creates the illusion that will motivate to you to for their own personal agenda. Example, the murders in Connecticut and Sandy Hook. And the next thing was, we had a show of children, saddened parents. Yes, oh my God, we sympathize. Oh my God, what happened? They utilized that tactic by the media. And of course, the government and Obama. And then they use the fear. And then they use the agenda, which is what? Even placed on their lips. They want to remove the guns from the populace. Why? So they can control the people. It was a cloak to control gun control. And they even, by their own words, like they use the word assault rifles. They're making things up. Adequate assault rifles and massacre. Assault rifles and massacre. Creating fear of just the weapon. Not the individual, but the weapon. The weapon caused it. No, but it was the person who caused it. It wasn't the weapon. It was the person who stood behind the weapon. Okay? It was the person who committed the crime, not the weapon. Yet we're looking at the weapon. Why? Manipulated control, creating fear. They're bombarding with bullshit. They want you use that as an agenda. Think about the source of the fear. They bombard you with funerals, then get your sympathy. Then they use the what could happen to you, your children, the assault rifle, by name only. Yet assault rifle by name is all it is a semi-automatic that's being used. It looks like any gun. It's only cloaked to look like a military gun. It's cloaked. It's made to look like a military. It's not fully automatic. It doesn't shoot like that. It pop, pop, pop. And it was fear to motivate you in what? In your own words, they use the massacre gives them the opportunity to convince people, you being the sheepo, to be supported of losing your right to bear arms in small measures, leaning to the ultimate goal of no arms. This is out of their own mouth. Flu shots. Notice how the outbreaks occur. Suddenly there's a broadcast. Do what? Fear. Manipulate. You do. Did you get your flu shot? Then, oops. Oh, by the way, those shots were bad for you. Sorry. And actually, they were done on purpose. Look at food. I mean, I've never in my life seen so many bacterial outbreaks growing up as a kid. Never heard salmonella and all the food things going on. Are we that more advanced? We're washing our food, or are we less? I mean, oh, we have over a million a year instances. A million, and this is in America alone, 1 million. We have 300 million. Figure the math on that. What does that do? It's create fear, anxiety. Even when they start pushing this stuff out, they're creating anxiety that food will kill you. They're creating anxiety that creates, and by the way, anxiety creates cancer. That's a fact. Put an animal in anxiety, create anxiety around the animal consistently. It's fear. It kills you. What I do, you go on the defensive, your cells construct, it doesn't grow, and it retreats. We all have cell cancer cells in the body, but you create anxiety, which has created your thoughts, which therefore affects drastically your body to disseminate. Fear destroys you. It is this illusion, this perception that's going to kill you, not the, it's an illusional, it's a magic trick that's doing to you. What it is, it's like fear is you're being waterboarded. You are spiritually being waterboarded by the use of fear. I'll say it again. Fear is spiritually being waterboarded. What is waterboarding? If you've ever seen it, somebody sticks a, they tie them up, they put a wet rag over their face, and they pour water down their mouth and across their face. So the person is an assumption of fear that he's drowning. It's an illusion. Fear is an illusion. So make you think what it is and it really isn't. So I really wanted you to re-look at all the elements of fear. How, why, you, how they relate. I don't want you people to, I want the people, I'm hoping people recognize this, to get out of that, recognize when they see something fear, they backtrack. They see some fear, backtrack. And wait a second, what's that coming from, huh? Then you realize what it is. By bracing ourselves, our own self-worth, we'll question our own societal governments, we'll question things. These change things. Even those people that are part of us, everyone's one unit, they will change. And if they don't change, it slowly changes because you yourself will not embrace it. Everything starts changing. After one dies, one grows. Things will start permanently draining, even if it's in baby steps. Sometimes I get really pessimistic and sometimes I'm very optimistic. I'm optimistic when I see new people born and more people changing and questioning. I get pessimistic when I see ignorance prevail and people allow themselves to be manipulated. I get pessimistic when I see hatred expounded. I say get pessimistic when people embrace fear and embrace guilt. I get optimistic when I see people embracing their self-worth, standing up for themselves, learning to investigate, and growing as human souls that we are, and learning to love each other and recognize for who we are, that we are all nothing but leaves on a tree, all connected to the same humanity, all connected to our own non and living things on Earth, connected to the roots of Earth that are being nourished from the universe. We're all really the same. And with that, I want to thank you all. Love to you all. God bless you and thank you. And with my words, we are one, one universe, one consciousness, connected to one another, connected to God, connected to the universe, as I say. God bless you all. And I'm going to close with a cool song I haven't played in a while. It is Spaceman by the Four Non Blondes. Old ass song, but I truly like it. It surely chews its purpose.
Thank you.